Hi, everybody. I'm Shayna. I was studying with Sean, actually, under Dr. Klett at CSU. And we worked on the same plants, and for basically we had the same objectives for our study, but I worked with different variables. So what I am going to talk about today is just an itty-bitty little piece of my study, because if I tried to get my 200-page thesis into 12 minutes, I would have to talk way too fast. So I'm just going to talk about the Eucera snow angel. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this plant, but it's a hybrid of sanguinea, and it has a variegated leaf. Like Sean said, it's very desirable in our area because it's very drought tolerant, and it's just a really nice ornamental plant. But growers have difficulty meeting the demand, because if it's grown through tissue culture, they have a lot of problems with reversion to a fully green leaf. And with basal stem cuttings, growers have trouble getting enough cuttings. I think during my first study, I was getting maybe 6 to 8 cuttings per stock plant, so they're forced to maintain a huge number of stock plants. And they were also having some inconsistent rooting. So our research objectives were really to increase the number, but also the quality of the cuttings we were getting from these stock plants. And for my study specifically, I wanted to identify the best container size and media combination, because probably all of you know that basically every taxon is different, and they all have different soil needs, and growers oftentimes will just grow all of their stock plants in the same media and the same container size, regardless of what they actually prefer. And then, as Sean talked about, we did this separate rooting study to determine whether our stock plant treatments had any sort of effect on the rooting of cuttings. I used 3 different container sizes, and I think the number one container is pretty much the industry standard for perennial stock plants, but I also used 2 larger containers to see if they would produce enough more cuttings to be worth the bench space that they were taking up. These are the 4 media that I used. The first and third one on there are basically bark, peat, perlite, really typical soilless mixes. The SunGrow Metro Mix 360 was pretty different because it had vermiculite instead of perlite. And then Pinstrup was basically just straight peat moss. They all, of course, had wetting agents and lime adjustments. So, unfortunately, there were some differences between our first and second experiment, and some of those were because we share the greenhouse with a trial garden, and we had to accommodate growing bedding plants. Some of it was because we were trying to adjust things to discourage flowering in the Zochneria subjects, etc. So we did these studies at 2 different times, like Sean was saying. The first one was between October and March. The second one was really July through November. So different light intensities, even though we were doing some supplemental lighting. The temperature initially for the first study, we were keeping between 16.8 and 21.1. Sean was so nice in giving you the temperatures in Fahrenheit, so you actually know what they are. And what was happening was we were seeing some fungal growth. So partway through the experiment, we actually adjusted the temperature, and we brought it up just a little bit to try and combat some of that during the first experiment. And then we finished out the experiment at the higher temperatures. For the second stock plant experiment, we kept it cooler in there because we were trying to keep the Zochneria from flowering, and it did help with that, but it kind of skewed results a little bit, which is what I'm going to talk about today. And the supplemental lighting was a little bit different. During the first experiment, we had our LED lights on just sunrise to sunset, so it was following the normal daylight. And during the second study, to accommodate our bedding plants, it was from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day. So we did collect a lot of data. What I'm going to concentrate on today is really just the number of cuttings per plant and the fresh weight of the cuttings. And I realize it's kind of uncommon to talk about fresh weights in academia, but I think in terms of cuttings, it's important because it gives you a sense of the quality of the cutting as far as, I call it the juiciness factor. But it tells a little bit better story of the quality of the cutting than the dry weight does. For the rooting experiment, like Sean said, we kept a subset of the stock plants from our stock plant studies, and those were the only variables within that study. So we were really trying to figure out if the way we were treating the stock plants had any effect on the rooting. So the only real difference was the season. So the first rooting experiment was done April through June, and the second from December through February. And then soil temperature was maintained the same during both experiments at 18.3, which is 65 degrees, much cooler than what people normally root things under, but the Euchra really tended to like that. And the air temperature was basically 68 to 73 degrees Fahrenheit. So on to the part you guys care about, which is the results. What we found out about the media part of the study was that the chemical properties of the media can vary a lot from batch to batch. So unfortunately, we bought a second batch of media for our second study, so we got some differing results. So what you can see is the four media across the bottom here and just the number of cuttings per plant on the y-axis. So we have probably the most obvious one was this Metromix 820 during experiment one. Oops, I didn't realize I had it on that. Sensitive. Okay, so for the first experiment, Metromix 820 resulted in the greatest number of cuttings per plant. But if you look at the second study, it actually had the lowest response. And then I think I attribute this mostly to pH. The difference in pH between those two batches of media was, I think it started, the first batch was 5.8 when I tested it, and the second batch was 3.8. Which is, if you know anything about pH, a massive, massive difference. So I think that kind of skewed our results. We also saw a little bit different response to container size depending on the experiment. So we saw much more of a classic response to container size during the second experiment, where you get fewer cuttings per plant in a smaller container and more in the larger container. It was a little bit different during the first experiment, so I think that had a lot to do with temperature and probably the season that we were propagating. So in order to kind of sort out and also simplify what was going on, I actually averaged all of my numbers over all of my treatments, but just compared experiment one to experiment two to see what the main effect of those differences was. So what we got across all of my treatments was a lot more cuttings during experiment one and significantly fewer cuttings during experiment two. The interesting part is that that was accompanied by a change in the size of the cuttings. So during experiment one, we had a lot more cuttings, but they were all smaller. Experiment two, we had a lot fewer cuttings, but they were all larger. So in some cases, a larger cutting doesn't necessarily mean higher quality, but I would say in this case it does, because we were, just because of the way that we defined what an ideal cutting was, we would only really take cuttings slightly smaller than ideal when we were harvesting, but I never really took cuttings that were larger than ideal. So just to kind of sum up, what we found was that the warmer greenhouse conditions of the first experiment, plus, remember, this was kind of a wintertime study. This was, I think it went through March, so October through March. So we had shorter days and less intense light, encouraged a lot more lateral shoot production. But if you think about it, if you've ever grown euchra in the landscape, in the spring, the early spring is when you get that natural flush of new growth, and the plant is putting on a lot more shoots. So it may be related to the sort of light quality that's telling the plant, this is the time to make lots of shoots. It could also have been the warmer temperatures. So obviously more research is going to have to be done to kind of separate out what happened here. But if you wanted to grow a lot more cuttings, you could try and mimic these conditions. But my guess is that because the energy was diverted to so many more shoots, they were all smaller. Now, the cooler greenhouse conditions of the second study, plus that set day length of a 16-hour day, at least of supplemental lighting, and the late summer into the early fall kind of daylight conditions of, you know, sunlight, encouraged a lot more supple, larger cuttings, but fewer lateral growth, lateral shoots. So in the landscape, if you're growing this plant, you'll notice that if just left alone, it's hardly putting on any new growth in the late summer and fall. So it may be just an issue of timing. And because there were fewer shoots and we were fertilizing everything essentially the same, they were able to funnel more energy to each cutting and they got a lot larger. The rooting experiment was very successful, I would say, for the heuchera. The first experiment, I had 98% rooting, if you're just looking at rooting status. The second experiment, I had 100% rooting, and that was, I took three rounds of cuttings. So I think that was very good. What I did find differences in were the number of visible roots. So if you're simply looking at rooting status, yes or no, there weren't a lot of differences. But if I looked at the number of visible roots and counted them, I got a lot more visible roots during the second study. And my guess is because across the board, those cuttings were larger. It may also have to do with the fact that that was February through April or something like that, which is kind of the early spring when euchra is doing a lot more growing, and it may just be a more ideal time of the year to root euchra. So you can see here between experiment one and experiment two, the number of roots that were visible was higher during experiment two. I just gave this graph so you can get an idea of how quickly the roots grew, and that it was a teensy bit faster during the second experiment, but overall, I would say either timing was really very successful. So you have after 1, 2, 3, and 4 weeks on here on the bottom, so you can kind of see how quickly they were putting on roots after the second week. So like all good research, I definitely created more questions than I answered, but I think that the results differed from experiment to experiment largely because of the differences in seasons, which has to do with light intensity and day length, the plant's natural seasonal growth habits, as well as the greenhouse temperature changes, and the difference in supplemental lighting. So we definitely need to look into this more to separate out what's going on. current recommendations for growers are choose your container size based on the season and the greenhouse temperature. I think a larger container will help avoid heat stress. And then plan your propagation times to really coincide with that natural flush of growth, because you're going to be more successful than fighting with the season. And follow our rooting protocols. I'm happy to email those to you if you would like. I have my email address here, and I have detailed protocol for the rooting portion if you are somebody who grows Eucra and has trouble with rooting it. Thank you so much. I took my whole 15 minutes.